He's got Drew. 35-30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com, brought to you by DraftKings. Alongside Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Medow. Good to be with you for the next 60 minutes as we will discuss all that's happening with respect to the New York Giants. We'll look ahead to Super Bowl 50. We'll reflect on some of the Giants Super Bowl appearances. And we'll be joined by a very special guest this hour, Chase Blackburn, former Giants linebacker who played 8 seasons with the Giants, helped contribute to 2 Super Bowl champion years. And he also played for the Carolina Panthers, so he knows the team that's going to be taking part in this year's Super Bowl very well, Paul.
Indeed he does. And, you know, being a middle linebacker like he was, few people will know more about what takes to not only win a Super Bowl, but also what the Panthers specifically will have to do. He's got so many teammates who are going to be playing in the game on Sunday, guys like Keekly and so forth and so on, Norman and all these other folks. He certainly knows all about Cam Newton, saw him in practice every day. So I think we'll get a really good perspective from Chase as to exactly what it is the Panthers can do and what they have to do if they're going to win this game, and vice versa with the Denver Broncos.
Absolutely. A very opportunistic defense that Carolina has showcased. And Chase Blackburn was a member of that opportunistic defense in 2013 and 2014. So we will certainly chat with him in a few moments here as we welcome in Chase Blackburn. He's actually on the line right now. Chase, greatly appreciate the time. Lance Medow, Paul Dottino with you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. How's everything?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Thanks, Chase, great to talk to you, man. Appreciate it so much. And, you know, the fans are real excited this morning on Twitter. It's blowing up because, you know, you were such a fan favorite here. And I have to tell you something, Chase. You know, one of the things that I always appreciated about you is that you were always a regular guy. And blood and guts, lunch pail, blue-collar worker, never let the Super Bowl championships get to your head, never let the New York thing get to your head. You were always a regular guy and one of, I think, everybody's favorite teammates in all of the teams that you played on. I just wonder how much, I know that you're not in the New York area right now, but how much of that Giant feeling just kind of still sticks with you all the time, even though you wound up playing for the Panthers for a couple of years at the end of your career?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I still love it that they gave me my first opportunity, and I was around a lot of great teammates for a long time and being able to win a couple of Super Bowl rings there. It means a lot. I mean, in reality, when you talk about the guys in the locker room and the coaching staff they had together, that's why we won. We were successful because of the people there, the personalities and the cohesiveness of that team for a while.
No question.
Chase, what Paul just alluded to in terms of your reputation when people look back at your days as a Giant, I mean, at least to me, known for your locker room presence in addition to what you did on the football field as well as what you did in the classroom. Your knowledge of the defensive scheme, I think, really jumps out to a lot of people. And I recall that 2011 season when you re-signed with the team late in the year, November. It was about a week before that Packers game. And you basically melded right back into the team. You wound up picking off Aaron Rodgers in that first game. What do you attribute to why you were able to make such a quick adjustment with your two stints with the New York Giants?
A couple of things. I had great leadership, great guys. Antonio Pierce, being behind him and learning how to study film and how to take notes the proper way and what to look for, as well as Dave Merritt, who was the quality control guy when I was there, my rookie free agent year. And just the amount of time he was able to spend with me, I was, you know, I was always a motivated guy and a self-motivated type player, and I wanted to be a part of that team. And football meant everything to me, and it still does. And I just kind of talked to him, and we talked every single day. And my lunches would be with him in his meeting room whenever he had a break. Days before preseason games, we'd meet in the hotel room or in an office or something to watch film. And I mean, he was the guy that really put the most time and energy into me and believed in me at a young age, coming into this league, which was huge for me, just take someone to believe in and take the time to teach me those intricacies about the defense. And, I think I just learned how to take notes and figure out a way. I feel like when it means a lot to you and it's important to you, you figure out how to do it the right way. And that's one thing that I'm so excited about, you know, hopefully getting into coaching here and being able to get an opportunity just to to have those guys and be able to continue mentoring and hopefully be a part of something great.
You know, Lance, I have to ask Chase, because if I don't do it now, all of the listeners will come after us, I think, with flaming arrows. The other interception that Chase is so well known for, it is Super Bowl week. He and I talked about this play many times over the course of the years. But I'm going to ask him to relive it again. The one and only guy in the world who has stopped the Gronk with the pick in Super Bowl 46 down in Indianapolis. Chase, every Giants fan who's listening to this show, and again, I know there are just tons of them because they were blowing up Twitter. I put the picture up, of course, on the Twitter of your pick defending Gronk. You need to take us through that play. Let the fans into the huddle from the time that you guys talk about what you're going to call to the time you come down with the football.
So I believe we had a blitz call on that play, but throughout the week we had an automatic check. If they lined up in a certain set, which was an empty formation where they were spread out, we had a check that automatically, right now you went into it. It was automatic, and, you know, as a defense we saw them. They went out to spread, and we made the check. We over-communicated across the board. So I got matched up on Gronk in a man defense with some help over the top. And as the play went on, you know, I think, I don't remember, it was Justin Tuck. Someone missed the sack early on, right out of the gate. It was a quick deal. And so I was guarding Gronkowski and sitting there, and I'm guarding him. He slows down, and I kind of slow down and look back because you hear the whole crowd just start going nuts. And, like, everyone kind of just slowed down. Everyone kind of thought the play was over. Well, next thing I know, I see him kind of escape, like the Eli Manning play of the Super Bowl 42. See him escape that sack, and I turn back around, and Gronk's got me by about 3 yards, and he just started taking off, and I'm like, oh, crap. So I just sprint, you know, by good coaching, they just taught me, you know, if you're behind, if you ever beat, you don't look back. You sprint to the ball, sprint to the position of the man. So I sprinted to his hip. Once I got to his hip, I realized the ball wasn't there yet. It had been hung up, so I turned around, was able to box him out, and kind of just high-point the ball, and was able to come down with the football. Looking back on the film, I realized why that ball was hung up. Jason Pierre-Paul had hit him as he was throwing the ball and forced it to sail. So, I mean, without the D-line effort and everything else, that could have easily been a touchdown. That could have been beaten, been the laughing stock of it, as opposed to on the other end of it. So I just attribute it, honestly, to staying with the play, teamwork, and being able to execute in that situation.
Chase, what did you do with the Rodgers pick and the Brady pick? Do you have them, like, in a special place? Did you save them? I mean, some guys don't even save them.
Oh, yeah. I have the balls. I have both of them. My Super Bowl one now is in a trophy case. I have a shadow box with all the stuff in the Super Bowl, our jersey and the tickets and stuff from my family that they had given me, cards for my kids, things like that. It's all in a trophy box downstairs. And I put my helmet and the ball up top. But before that, I mean, so we lived in an apartment for a couple of years there, we rented in New York there for a couple of years at the end. And it was, we didn't have anywhere to put it. It was kind of sitting in the top of our coat closet. And our boys always wanted to play with that one every day. We had a thousand footballs, but they always wanted that one. So they played with it for probably 2 years before it got put away. But, you know, it's just one of those things that it means a lot and everything, but at the end of the day, family is more important. So it made them happy to play with football. By all means, they can play with it.
Well, Chase, you know Paul well from covering the team during your tenure. You'll be happy to know he took the legal pad where he charted your interception during the game, and that is framed on his mantle. It's nothing like the football, but, you know, at least it's a little memento to have a comparison.
Yeah, you know, that legal pad, that went in a special bag with all the mementos from that day, and that legal pad's never been touched since, nor will it ever, Chase.
You're not going to let any of your kids draw on it?
No, I don't think so. Don't think so. Hey, let's fast forward if we can, and I don't want to neglect the fact that you spent some time with the Panthers, and many of your teammates are, in fact, playing in a Super Bowl this weekend. What are they going through now in the final couple of days leading into this game as they try to finish off preparations? And what do you think it is that they have to do if they're going to beat the Broncos?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I talked to a bunch of guys. I couldn't be happier for those guys. I mean, the team there and the way that they've handled it all season long, and the way that they've done it the right way. I mean, they've grown over the last couple of years and to an apex at this point because of the leadership in that locker room, through Dave Gettleman, who came from New York, all the way down through the coaching staff to players. So I think they've done it the right way. And so first of all, I want to say I'm proud of them and couldn't be happier for those guys. They deserve it. So I talked to a lot of the guys last week, make sure they take care of their tickets, take care of their families, and the way that they're doing it, and making sure they get all the distractions kind of out of the way. Whatever it's going to be, try to get it done by Wednesday, you know, by yesterday, so that make sure that it was a normal work week this week, a normal game week for them. And really that's what they're preparing to do, and that's how both of our Super Bowls that we played in, Coach Coughlin taught us the same thing, and especially by the second one, I really took advice to it and understood it, and really makes a difference because you go into that last week and you're just prepared and focused on a game. And I think that team has the mental toughness and the mindset and the ability to do that, and they're focused, even though they only have one loss. They're focused on this one because if they lose this one, it doesn't matter how many losses they had up to this point, and they realize that. As far as beating the Broncos, I think they do match up very well against Denver. In my opinion, I think the defense there in Carolina is great and just plays well together. Hopefully, I really, really hope that Thomas Davis gets an opportunity to play, and I think he will. He deserves it, and he'll be an emotional leader, even if he can only play 5 or 10 snaps. If he can get out on the field and put his helmet on and run through the tunnel, that'll be an emotional lift for that football team. And he deserves that feeling, if nothing else. So I would say those types of things offensively continue to be who they are and just decide that they're going to make Cam do Cam things that only he can do in reality. And I think that's their mindset going in, is they're going to be themselves and they're going to take it to them. And special teams-wise, make plays that are brought to you. I know those guys well. I'm happy for the way that they've come about this year. I feel like they have performed at a high level of that unit, and I'm proud of the guys that are part of that. So I think all three phases, they have in my opinion, they have a heads up on this game, a little upper hand, and I expect them to win, and I know they expect themselves to win.
Well, Chase, you just emphasized the defense, and you have been a member of defenses that have really gained momentum and taken that momentum all the way to the Super Bowl and ultimately won the game going back to 07, specifically 11 when you joined the team and OC gets back healthy. And I look back at the 2014 season when you were with the Panthers, Chase, 3-8-1. The team ends the season on a very lengthy winning streak. You ride that momentum into the playoffs. What are the type of similarities, if any, that you see between your experience with the Giants' defense versus how the Panthers' defense ultimately started to click late last season and carried that over into this past year?
Honestly, I would say the Panthers' defense still played pretty well even during a losing streak. There was times that we were losing 12 to 8 or 14-12, and the defense was still performing pretty well. I think. Honestly, I think the defensive system and the mindset through Coach Sean McDermott, defensive coordinator, all the way through the coaching staff and down to the players, and the mindset of it, expecting to be good, expecting to be great in a dominated football team. And in reality, that defense has been really solid for 4 years. And I think they have some great players. I think they've emerged some new players, the young players playing, especially later in that season. Last year, where Quan Short and Starla Toulet really came on, Josh Norman putting the pieces in, Benet Ben-Wickery, who is now on IR, but was able to perform and play nickel and emerge as a young player. And then having linebackers step up. You know, we had a young linebacker last year, Adelius Clanton, when myself and A.J. Klein were both out at the end of the year. Adelius Clanton had to play, and I think he's with the Reds, or with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now. He stepped up and he performed, you know, to the standard of a linebacker supposed to in the Panther system, and that's what we always preach in our meeting room. The standard is the standard, and it doesn't matter. It's by position, not by player. So everyone's held to the same standard, and I think that's what's made that defense good. Conversely, I think the offense is what really started clicking, and especially throughout this season, just coming together, getting those pieces together. Kelvin Benjamin, I wouldn't say it's a good injury. I wouldn't say that it would be scary to think what they might be with him there too.
Yeah.
But him being injured, it also brought some other players along faster and made them come together quicker. And I think it's given them some cohesiveness amongst that team that they really believe in each other and know that they have to rely upon each other, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that is one of the key parts of their success this year.
Former Giants Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl champion Chase Blackburn, also played with the Panthers, joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We only have him for a few more minutes. Chase, I need to ask you about Cam Newton, because you've watched him in practice every day. You certainly know him better than anybody else does around here. What was the biggest jump in your mind in his game that has allowed him to become what I think was the MVP of the league this season, at least during the regular season, and has put him in position now where he could win a Lombardi Trophy?
I think just confidence in general, has been huge. Being in the system for a while, obviously, to me, is always big when a player's in the system for a few years, they get more confident and feel comfortable in every aspect of it, making checks to the line, especially as a quarterback, making tight throws. They all lead to helping, mending to help each other out during that period. And I think a big thing for me to see is, even more so this year, people were getting on him a little bit, having fun, how he celebrates and everything. But that's how he is in practice, too. He does the same thing. He'll throw a touchdown in 7-on-7 or 1-on-1s and sprint 80 yards with the receiver. And he's just happy. He loves football. He's excited about it. He prepares hard. When you have a player that's doing that, he deserves to have fun doing it. And I think he's doing that now. He's enjoying it, and he's enjoying the process. And like I told a lot of the guys earlier this season when they were still undefeated, to make sure they were enjoying the journey, because at the end of the day, you're going to have the memories and things, not just your record, not that kind of stuff, not the Super Bowl ring. And when you look at the Super Bowl ring, when I look at my rings, I don't think about, oh, I was a Super Bowl champ. I think about the journey along the way and the players I had the opportunity to play with and the coaching staff that I was able to play underneath, and just the things in our locker room, different jokes that were going on that year. Just those types of things are what the memories and the journey is what makes it special, not the ring itself.
Well, Chase, one of the players that you did win a ring with was Justin Tuck, and he announced his retirement early this week. I know that you reacted to that news on Twitter, but I'm just curious what your initial thoughts were when you heard the news and some of the memories that come to mind playing alongside a player like that.
I mean, I couldn't be happier for that guy. I mean, he's a true professional, everything, every aspect of what he did. I mean, even as OC said, I think he said on Twitter or somewhere, he talked about how he would get on him because they called him a company man, because he always did things the right way. He was never a problem. He was a leader through and through, locker room, on the field, off the field, community, didn't matter. I think he deserved that, to be able to retire on his own terms. I know how hard it was, because last year I ended on IR, and how he ended on IR this year, and how tough it is to walk away. Honestly, that was the only reason I didn't really say I'm done after last year. Mm-hmm. And just be able to retire and walk away from him, is because I didn't want to end my career on IR, and I didn't want to end it that way as well as I thought I played for 10 years, and the ability that I was able to bring, and things I was able to bring in the locker room, I wanted to be able to walk away on my own terms. But it is what it is, and it's a business, so I'm happy for him that he's able to do that, and he's comfortable with the decision, and he has a great family surrounding him, and that's what's going to – he's going to be able to transition easily into anything he wants. As far as memories, my first memory of Justin, so I got signed, as you know, I was an undrafted free agent. I walk in, all the bets are gone. I did a workout for the Giants with, like, I don't know, 30-some other guys, and ended up getting signed out off the workout. And they fly me in for rookie mini camp after all the vets are gone. So after mini camp, the rookies stay for 3 more days. And so that was my introduction to Justin Tuck. My first people walking in was Justin Tuck and Brandon Jacobs in the weight room. I'm thinking to myself, am I really going to be able to play in this league? These are 2 rookies that I'm coming in with, and they're just phenoms. And I'm looking at myself like, I'm a linebacker, and these dudes look like, I don't know, just purebreds, you know? And so that was my first memory of Justin, and then – Obviously, the speech that he gave before the second Super Bowl sticks in my mind. I mean, there's so many different things with Chess. And just, honestly, just going to his house and him cooking, I mean, he's a heck of a cook. I don't know. If you're ever invited over, I promise you, I would not turn it down. He can swing around on the grill. And he has some family recipes as far as some casseroles and things that are pretty impressive. So just having the families together, doing that kind of stuff. So he's just, like I said, he's a pure leader on and off the field, good friend, and just a great person to be around.
Chase, how about your transition? You mentioned a little while ago, you know, obviously the way the season ended last year, not the way you wanted it to. But at this moment, what are your plans? What do you want to do? I know you'd be a hell of a coach if you wanted to do it. I think you'd be great at it. But I don't know. Maybe that's not on the menu for you.
Yeah. So this year I was continuing to train and try to get back into football and trying to be a player. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. My wife and I, we have a foundation, Blackburn Chasing the Cure, for breast cancer and childhood cancer. So we really kind of dove into that and set up our youth well camp and our golf tournament and event at the high school and some different things so that we could raise money and for our foundation.
Do you have a website, Chase?
Here.
Do you have a website for that?
We're actually getting ready to launch it right now. It'll be blackburnchasingthecure.com.
Excellent. Get that to us here at the Giants, and we'll definitely make sure we get that out for you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, so we really spent a lot of time with that. But recently, so I went down to Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl, and I do want to coach. And so I went down there and networked a lot down there and talked to a bunch of coaches that I knew and got to know a bunch of coaches that I didn't know yet. But I was able to communicate with them and have a good introduction with them facilitated through other coaches that I knew. And I actually just got back yesterday from an interview from San Diego Chargers for an assistant special teams job.
Wow.
So hopefully hear from that here soon. I would really enjoy it. I just want to get an opportunity. I believe I could be a strong coaching candidate and I would enjoy it. And most importantly, I just would enjoy it. And I would love to be able to help the team win.
Well, there is no question about your work ethic, Chase, and as long as the hours can be for an assistant coach, I have no doubt in my mind that you would give 150% to every one of those hours, and I think any team would just be thrilled to have you. You'd be a great asset on any staff.
I appreciate it.
Well, Chase, we greatly appreciate the time and the insight. Thanks so much for coming on here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I know the fans appreciate it, and we certainly appreciate you reminiscing about your days with the Giants. Best of luck moving forward.
All the best, Chase.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you guys. Have a great one.
You got it. Chase Blackburn, former Giants linebacker, won 2 Super Bowls with the team, kind enough to give us a few minutes. And very interesting that it looks like he wants to get into coaching now.
You know, I'm not surprised. I mean, we knew him here, and so cerebral and so friendly and so much liked and adored by his teammates, not just because of the fact that he was a blue-collar guy, not just because of the fact that, you know, he worked his butt off as an undrafted free agent to have a decade in this league, which how many of those guys get to do?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and he started, too. I mean, it's not just that he made a team. He started, and he won 2 Super Bowl rings. Tremendous accomplishment, what he was able to do in this league. But I think to understand him is to know what a class guy he is, pros pro, quality human being, just a really, really great guy. And I know this, if I were a player, I would want him to be my position coach, without question, because I know he would have my best interests at heart, he would have gone through it, he would have known everything that it takes to get there, and he would also be very, very understanding and willing to teach me everything that I need to do to get there too. Great example, and I you know what? Hey, Chargers, I know you're not listening to us because you don't tune in Big Blue Kickoff Live, but you've interviewed this guy. Close the book on the rest of your candidates. You got to hire him. That's it.
He understands the ins and outs of coaching because he's basically a coach in itself while he was a player.
He was.
Because he was so detail-oriented. He understood the subtleties of what you need to pick up on within a scheme and so forth.
There's nothing you couldn't ask him to do that he wouldn't do. You know, some guys... special teams, I really got to do that. Or, coach, we really got to work on that. No. Chase Blackburn was there anytime you asked him to do anything. He was there, and he gave it everything he had. Team guy, Just I can't say enough about him. Look, I know it shows. He's one of my favorites over the years. I can't help it, and I'm just thrilled that he was able to join us. And I will also say this: the one thing that he was talking about with the Panthers, and I do think that the Broncos' defense is terrific. I love their defense.
Oh, the numbers
I think
show that
they're fundamentally sound. They're good one-on-one tacklers. They're versatile. They're athletic. They hit. They're smart. I don't know if he's underselling the Broncos there, but he gave the Panthers the edge in offense, defense, and special teams on all three categories. That surprised me a little bit.
Well, I don't think it's that far off. I mean, special teams, what Ted Ginn has done for their special teams unit, you know, they've been able to score some touchdowns. It's
understood.
Changed field position, much more so than Denver this season. Offense,
I agree there.
We're talking about the number one scoring offense throughout the majority of this season, so it's hard to necessarily argue against that. And it's impressive considering you look at that roster, not a lot of household names around camp, Paul.
Understood.
Defense, I would agree with you. I mean, I think Denver as the number one defense
and
this
season.
And
that's where it surprised me.
But you know what? I think
he gave
two
him
out
an
of
edge
three,
in all
though,
three.
It's close, though, on defense. And you and I have discussed this
yes,
in
we have.
Prior. It's very close on defense. I don't think there's a huge disparity between both of these units. So, I mean, you're talking about real minutiae.
I'm not so sure that the offensive chasm is that wide for the Panthers over the Broncos offense either, to be totally honest. I do think they have the edge, and certainly because of Cam. But I think so much of it revolves around Cam that it's a lopsided edge, if you will.
Well, he opens up a lot for the running game specifically, but that at least has shown some more consistency. The running game, that facet for Carolina, much more so than Denver. And when I look at this game, Carolina, the defense, they're good at taking away a number of strengths for the opposition. So if Denver can't run the football, which they haven't been able to do effectively during the postseason thus far,
it's an issue.
If you're Denver, while Manning's been great during the course of his career, I don't know if there's a game where you want him throwing the ball 40 to 45 times.
I don't think this is. I think for Denver to win the game, I don't think Eli. I don't think Peyton can have more than 32 attempts in the air.
Well, that's
if
why
he does. I think it's a problem for them.
I would agree with you. I think that's a fair synopsis.
That's about as high as it goes for me.
Correct. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. So Chase Blackburn, kind enough to join the program a few minutes ago. We'll get your reaction to what Chase Blackburn had to say on a variety of different topics. You want to weigh in on the upcoming Super Bowl. We're also going to look back at some of the Giants' Super Bowl victories themselves. Let's open up the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat. Getting us going on Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live is Scott. He is in the Bronx. Scott, what's happening?
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Hope everyone's doing well.
Hi.
Hey, Paul. Question I have here, and get your opinion on this, on the Giants, I'm going to call reloading, rebuilding the team. Do you think, I heard the comments about the offensive line, I think it was 2 days ago. And though I agree with you about the rookie who had, a hell of a year, and the center and the guard on that side with Pugh, do you think that possibly that Pugh might have an outside shot going to the tackle position at left and get a stud in free agency at guard, or Bobby Hart get a shot at guard, and really get a really pounding offensive line going? And is there any studs out there you think on free agency, or did you just go the draft
okay.
on that one question so far?
Let's go. You got three parts to your question. First one is Pugh is going to be the starting left guard, and that's not going to change. That's where they want him to solidify his roots. He trained all offseason last year to become a guard. I thought he did a very good job in his first year at the position. I think
Great
they
job.
Believe he could be a very, very good guard, maybe even a Pro Bowl guard. Even though he doesn't have the girth, he's got so much technique about him. He's more of a scheme and a finesse guard than he is necessarily a bulldozer. But they love him there, and I think they want him to grow into the elite player that he can be. So I don't think they want to mess with him. In terms of what you said with Bobby Hart, in my mind, and I've discussed this with David Deal, we've discussed it on the air on MSG, I believe we've also said it on Big Blue Kickoff Live, I think he competes as the starting right guard in the summer. That is my opinion. I think he's a better guard than he is a tackle, and I believe that if he can get himself together during this offseason, remember, he was a rookie last year, his body was not maturing yet, it wasn't as strong as it needs to be, he's going to have to increase his power. but I do believe that his talent level looks as though he's got the feet to be a guard. I think he's got the size to be a guard. Now he just needs to get the power and the experience to mesh himself into that position. That's what I want to see for him. And as far as getting a tackle, interesting call, because we were talking about this the other day with John on Tuesday's show. I fully believe that when the Giants look to free agency in the draft, they should go for an experienced player at free safety next to Landon Collins and spend money there. And I think they should go for an experienced player at right tackle, a younger veteran, not necessarily an old-time guy, but a younger veteran who can then set up next to Bobby Hart so that Hart can grow at right guard with an experienced guy next to him. He's got to be a bulldozer, though. What I'm saying is I basically want Kareem McKenzie cloned is what I really want for the Giants right now. Get me a mauler to play right tackle, but a guy who's only been in the league maybe 5 years or so, you know, free agency, we know the contracts are usually 4 years anyway.
Once they finish their rookie
deal. And stick him there so that he can grow with the other four guys on this line, and this offensive line could be together for another 6 years or so. And you could just say, guys, just go knock some heads and clear the way for the running game. Make sure Eli stays healthy for the rest of his career, and you got yourself a nice, nice unit there in the trenches. But that's what I would do. I would not go draft for that starting right tackle. I would go free agency for that guy.
Okay, that's a good observation there. I do think, and I'm bad with the names, the right tackle this year did its
Marshall Newhouse, you're talking about.
Yes, he stood the test. I just don't see what if there's a kink in his armor. I'm putting it this way, a kink in his armor. I don't see him with that very athletic left tackle making those moves on those quick defensive ends. That's a question. I look at it.
You're talking about Flowers?
Not as hard. I'm sorry?
You're talking about Flowers?
Yes.
Okay, Flowers, and the reason last spring, and I'm not going to go into revisionist history here because I don't believe in that. I stand up for what I say and what I believe in. I had said back in the springtime, obviously, that Flowers, to me, was going to need some work. He was going to need some work on his technique. He had a lot of not a lot of time as a starter in college. So in my opinion, last year, okay, my thought was you got to go after the guy from Iowa because he was pro-ready. And he was going to be – Sheriff was going to be able to step in right away, and Flowers was going to need time to develop. That's the reason why I didn't want to go to him. The other reason I didn't want to go to Flowers was I had heard that he had a knee injury in college, and I did not know if that contributed to some of his raw technique and if that was going to be a problem for him. When he got here, we found out that the knee was not an issue. The Giants medical staff had checked on that, and the knee was not going to be an issue for him, and it was not last year.
Well, he had surgery, and he came back like 10 days
exactly.
later to play in Miami.
And it turned out that he strictly had trouble with his raw technique, and that was the only thing that had to be coached up. Now that I've seen him here, and I know the knee is not a problem, and I've seen what a gamer he is, and how tough he is, and how strong and powerful he is, I really believe that he should be their left tackle for the next decade. I really do believe that. And in retrospect, they got themselves a really, really good pick. The only problem was, again, raw guy coming out because he hadn't played a ton of snaps in college. He showed a lot of those rookie tendencies last season. He will have to grow into the role. I thought last year his learning curve was actually a little quicker than a lot of people thought it was going to be. But nonetheless, he made his share of rookie mistakes. So when you see some of these analytics people and some of these stats people who say, oh, you didn't grade out so well, Jesus, he was a rookie.
Yeah.
And he was originally supposed to come in at right tackle, learn the NFL, and then flop over to the harder position. It didn't work out that way. They had to throw him into the deep end of the pool
by fire.
Right
That's
away.
What it was. Yeah.
So take all that into account. I'm leaving Flowers at left tackle. I think when he gets his technique polished, he's going to be dynamite. My opinion.
Okay, I don't want to hold too much of time here, and I thank you for your input.
I've given you long answers, but you've asked me.
No. They're great answers, and I think this is great knowledge here. We're looking at this, and that's why I enjoy the show so much. Switching on a different topic here, do you think it's worth the investment, if he's healthy and has a little left on the tread, to go after Waddle as safety? for the Giants? Would he fit in the Giants' mode?
From the San Diego Chargers.
Yes.
Well, I mean, Paul and I have talked about this in the past, Scott. It really comes down to the age factor, too. I think you got to take into consideration. You know, he's in his 30s right now, and I think that the Giants need a veteran to complement Landon Collins. I think that that's certainly some area that they can at least experiment with. I just wonder, do they want a veteran who's a little bit younger, Paul, who maybe you can give a contract and build upon that with Collins for years to come, as opposed to maybe take on somebody who, I don't want to say Weddle's at the tail end of his career, but he certainly has put a lot of mileage on those legs thus far.
Put it this way, Weddle fits all of the checklist boxes that I have for that spot. What I don't know is, what are his money demands going to be? What are the Giants thinking in terms of how much resources they want to devote to the position? I don't know if that's a match or not, but I think he's got everything else. He's got the experience. He's got the quality. He's got the temperament. He's certainly got the desire and the hunger after being in San Diego and the way things did not work out there well for him because of the contract this year. He's out to prove something. I think the team that gets Weddle is going to get a Pro Bowl season out of him in 2016. I really believe that. So would I like to see him here? Absolutely, I would. But there are things that must be considered. Does he want to play in New York? Will the money and the terms of the contract be acceptable? Physically, is he a young 31? Is he an old 31? You got to work him out and test him out there, too. But I think on face value, he checks all the boxes for me.
And, Scott, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. Weddle is the ideal complement to Landon Collins because Weddle can play free safety.
No question.
That's why it makes a lot of sense,
at least on
paper. And how they've been utilizing Landon Collins.
Checks all the boxes.
Yeah. So, I mean, logistically, stylistically, however you want to label it, it makes sense. It's just a matter of some of the other things that don't necessarily deal with X's and O's, which is moolah and how money plays into it.
Just like last year, Devin McCourty.
Yeah.
Checked all the boxes, too.
The finances, though.
And then, even with the finances.
And also
they,
wanting to stay in New England, too. That was another
that
factor.
They got everything done, but guess what? McCourty wants to stay with the Patriots. Well, you know what? If the guy doesn't want to go, he doesn't want to go.
Now, with Weddle, and once again, this is purely speculation, but from what we've been hearing and what he's been putting out there in the media at the tail end of the season, it doesn't look like he and the Chargers are going to continue to stay together. At least that's what it appears based on the media reports.
He made it pretty clear that there's a lot of dissatisfaction going on there. That he's going to part ways.
Correct. Which means that he's most likely going to be legitimately on the market where he's going to look and explore his options and so forth. All right, let's continue to open up the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. JD is in Virginia. JD, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, family? How y'all doing today?
Hey,
doing
guys.
Well, JD. What do you got for us?
Hey, well, listen, first thing is first. I'm going to give a great thank you to Justin Tuck. Just for his leadership and his drive. And, I mean, bottom line, he was a voice for the Giants and definitely one of my all-time favorite players, the Don, the 9-1. But basically, also to Chase Blackburn, even though he said it was a step slow, but he was an awesome leader and he was a great middle linebacker, a very intelligent middle linebacker. Definitely appreciated him, too. But my question is, well, not my question, but this – this is a debate question I asked for you, Paul, because I was told that if I ask this question, that it's going to get you talking for part of the rest of the show.
That's always dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Do we have another hour?
Hey, you know what? I'll listen to another 5 hours. Not a problem.
What do you got, brother?
But basically what it is this. Right now, everyone is – I'm keep on hearing everything about the 85 Bears, 85 Bears, 85 Bears. And I'm thinking to myself, wow – the following year, there was a team out of New York in 86 that had a very dominant year.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out what, besides the record, because as far as I think the overall record, the Bears were 15-1, and I know the Giants were 14-2. Besides that, in my view, I'm like, the Giants had a very punishing defense, too. Then why aren't the 86 Giants being talked about as much as the 85 Bears? I wait to hear your debate, Paul. Listen, thank you very much for the show. Greatly appreciate y'all. Even in the off season, greatly appreciate your insight and also everything you said. Y'all be safe. Stay up. Stay true. Go G-Man. Go Big Blue.
All right, JD. Appreciate the phone
call. I like
call.
That.
Thanks for
very
listening
cool.
and watching.
Thank you very much for your interest. And the question, you know, I'm going to say that the 86 Giants team doesn't probably get enough respect because I do think that they were awesome and that defense was incredible. But the 85 Bears team, here's what you got to understand about that team. They had a better secondary than what the 86 Giants did. And I'm not taking anything away from you know, the guys the Giants had because Lord only knows. Big fans of those guys. But that Bears secondary, especially their safeties, big-time players. You know, the Giants, Kenny Hill was a good player. Terry Kennard was a good player. Of course, Terry Kennard got hurt, if you remember, and Herbie Welch had to start the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos. Again, good players. But the Bears, look, I got their lineup here somewhere because as you were talking, I was trying to pull it up. The Bears lineup, they were just in every spot. They were ferocious. And so what I'm going to say is, do the Giants of 86 have to take a backseat to the 85 Bears? You know what? They can be in the vehicle. Let's put it that way. They're not walking to the bus stop. They're in the vehicle. But when you talk about somebody's – look, Fencick and Dorson were the two starting safeties on the 85 Bears team.
Secondary.
I'm sorry. Look, again, Kennard, Kenny Hill, really good guys. Really good guys. Good players. But Dorson and Fencick.
Linebackers for both teams pretty strong.
Linebackers, awesome. Both teams. But even a defensive line. Look at Hampton, McMichael, Perry, and Dent. Now, look, I got no problems putting George Martin and Leonard Marshall, you know, and Eric Dorsey, underrated player, by the way. I got no problem, all right, saying that those Giants were great Giants. But I think you do have to give an edge to the Bears' defensive line a little bit and to their safeties. Having said that, they also had the mystique of the 46 defense and Buddy Ryan and Ditka. And they drove that Hollywood mystique and the legend of the 46 right to the top of the legendary charts. And so they got a lot of play off of that, too. So I don't want to say that they were a product of their scheme because they were great on their own merit. But their scheme gave them a lot of extra pop and a lot of mystique, if you will. The Giants, that 86 defense, they just lined up, hit you, and beat you. There was nothing fancy about it.
Simple. Straight to the point. They didn't beat around the bush.
No. Well, and that's my answer to you.
Let me ask you this in connection to what JD had called in about. How much do you think the Bears benefit from the whole personality? And maybe this is what you were alluding to with the mystique, but Chicago is known, you know, for the shuffle, a lot of personalities on that defense. Does that maybe give them an edge in terms of the media and how everybody looks at compared to the Giants, who, like you said, it was more textbook with the Giants defense? Wasn't necessarily about all the drama and so forth.
The Super Bowl shuffle and everything else that went with it. I think that that's part of it when people look back. They see some of that stuff, and that kind of catches their eye a little quicker. Remember, and you guys know, I am a huge Harry Carson guy. I still call him captain when we work together during the week on the MSG shows. I still call him captain. That's what he is. He's Captain Emeritus of the New York Giants, always will be, number 53. But having said that, he was starting to go a little bit to the second part of his career. You know, Harry would only last another two or three seasons. Before he wound up retiring. Singletary was smack in the prime of his career. And remember, they'd only show you the eyes. they'd give you that field-level end zone shot from behind the offense, and you'd see Singletary looking. That was like a, you know, CBS loved to give you that shot. And that added to the whole mystique as well. All of that stuff piles on to the legend of what the 85 Bears are. And I do think that they were awesome and one of the best defenses of all time. I do think when you have that conversation, I do think the 86 Giants can be in that conversation. I don't think ultimately, though, they would beat the 85 Bears defense if you matched them up player for player for player for player. Bears would have a little bit of an edge.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. 201-939-4513, that is the telephone number. He's Paul Dottino. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for joining us on Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Moving along here on the lines, Bob is in New Jersey. Bob, welcome aboard. What do you have for us?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi, good afternoon,
Paul,
to you.
I'm the fellow who called on Monday. I think you were on with John back then, and I had talked about Chase Blackburn and about him getting into coaching in that conversation.
On Tuesday, I remember the call.
Oh, okay, great. And I've always felt the guy had a very high-level football IQ, and he would become an outstanding coach because He with that football IQ, the guy could teach the strategic reasoning of defense to other players, and I think he would convey that very well. So I think he's got all the skill sets to be an outstanding coach. I would hope someday, just in passing, maybe as crazy as it sounds, you know, maybe mention it to Spags if you had the chance, you know, to just call the guy in and talk. Because I'd love to see him find a way to the Giants sideline in that kind of a capacity if it were ever possible.
I tell you what, so, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point down the road as he begins to gain coaching experience, I would not be surprised if at some point he's here down the road, linebacker coach, special teams guy, would not surprise me at all. Because, you know, what you just said a minute ago, very key. It's one thing for a player to be able to absorb what he's supposed to do and go out and do it. It's another thing for the guy to be able to understand everything that went into those instructions, because now he is capable of turning around and teaching it to somebody else. That's what was so great about Chase. Chase understood everything that went into the game plan and the instructions that he was being told about.
To do that as a middle linebacker. I mean, that's the captain of the defense. That's the guy that has the best view.
Exactly.
And the other thing that I would add, Bob, before we let you continue, I didn't mean to cut you off, the Giants do have a track record. Even if, let's say, he doesn't get an official position, we've seen a lot of past Giants. They come back because of their ties to the coaching staff and the players. Deion Grant has shown up to training camp, spring workouts. He's been here. The offensive lineman, O'Hara's around, Deal's
Freddie
around.
Freddie Robbins was around recently.
So it's not
Sam
unusual.
Madison.
Sam Madison's another guy. Correct. So I would not be surprised if he doesn't get a gig with another team because of his ties to Spags and everybody else comes by and talks to the linebackers. I don't think that that's a stretch.
Yeah, I remember that exactly. And, you know, those other players coming in, the Giants have always helped them with doing that type of thing and opening their doors to former players to invite them in to relate to the newer players that way and get some coaching experience. If you recall, you know, prior to that Super Bowl, you know, when Chase was on the couch, per se, you know, he was actually teaching. He was, at that time, he was filling the void by actually being a grammar school,
yes,
I believe, math
that's
teacher
true. Correct.
At the time.
Correct. Yeah.
So he has, again, he's got that teaching skill set, you know, so that he would definitely be able to now interact and relate to young players to help them get the message, get the program. What is strategic defense really all about besides just hitting?
You know what's interesting about that? He came out of Akron, and a guy who also came out of Akron was Dominic Hickson, who was also pro's pro, and another guy who I believe would be a hell of a wide receivers coach. I know that's not what he wants to do. He's enjoying doing a lot of charter fishing on his fishing boat, and I understand that, and he's having a good time. But interesting that both of those guys, unheralded, but they both came out of Akron, and they were both pros, the kind of guy you just loved having on your team and to call a teammate.
So, you know, that's the thing. You know, I was sad to see when he left, you know, after the Super Bowl and he went to the Panthers. But, you know, I think when, you know, as fans, you know, and especially if any fan had been a former player themselves at a lower level, you know, you just spot that skill set when you see it. And you just know that, hey, that guy's got the skills to become an outstanding young coach. And so I just wish the best for him. I'm glad you guys finally got him and put him on. I read an article, actually, the following day on a website. I think it was G101 or something, and that that they had said that Chase got an interview with San Diego. So, again, I just wish the best for him, and I'd like to see it. And I hope you guys do this some more in the future with bringing on some past players, you know, for these types of calls, you know, to talk to them.
I know a lot of them.
Absolutely. All right, Bob, appreciate the phone
Thank
call.
You. One other comment to make, and the kind of guy Chase is a direct correlation to the fact that Dave Gettleman, who when he went to Carolina to become GM, and he was going to try to build a winner there, that's exactly why he brought Chase Blackburn down there.
They came in together in 2013. Gettleman was hired as GM, and Blackburn was one of his first free agent signees.
He knew. And he brought Hickson down there, too.
And I'm also not surprised that the Panthers linebackers are so well-known and play so well-disciplined. I think it's also a reflection of what Blackburn provided in the classroom. Because remember, when he arrived, Luke Kuechly had just come into the
league.
That's
correct.
You know, it's been a while. You know, we talk about Kuechly a lot, but he was a young kid when Blackburn came to the Panthers, and mm-hmm. Thomas Davis dealing with those torn ACLs. He mm-hmm. wasn't on the field all the time. Blackburn was heavily involved in the scheme when he first arrived in 13.
Like a big brother to all of those guys.
Absolutely. So it's no coincidence that all of a sudden all of these things have come into play as a result of his arrival in Carolina. Let's hit up Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's happening?
Oh, hi, guys. Great to talk to you. I wanted to say thank you to Justin Era. How many other guys did we have? I'm trying to think from Notre Dame here on our team here. I can't think of too many others, Paul. Was there too many others from Notre Dame?
Over the years, sure there have been. I mean, Mark Bavaro.
Oh, okay, right.
I mean, we'll start right there.
Yeah,
like,
right there.
Like, you have to go anywhere else.
Go back
to the 50s and Dick Lynch. But yeah. I mean, oh, sure there have been Notre Dame guys on this team.
Yeah,
absolutely. Eric Dorsey.
Well, I was just trying to think if there was someone that was a better athlete than Justin. And I guess Mark's right up there with them for sure, you know.
No question.
Yeah, I guess I'm getting edgy out here. I'm seeing the Eagles sign their top players here, you know, and I was just wondering why Jerry, at least there, we have a lot more money than the Eagles, you know, to get our kickers signed, Darqua, I don't know who else is there, you know what I mean, that are good players that, you know what I mean, I wish he'd get on the ball, you know, something there with them guys because he's going to have to do a lot of work there with, you know, with JPP and errors, you know. So,
well, just let me mention to you about Darqua, okay? Darqua is an exclusive rights free agent. So to be honest, you don't have to worry about him going anywhere. If the Giants want him back, they got him tied up.
Yeah,
that's not an issue. He's not an unrestricted guy who could suddenly escape out the back door.
Right. The only one is, I said there would be our kicker, not our punter. Our punter's another guy you said he's wrapped up.
Yeah, Brad Wing.
Yes.
Yeah, so. And Josh Brown, I will tell you, I'm not giving out any secrets here. I've talked to Josh Brown, and Josh was very happy to re-sign his one-year deal last year. He's very happy to come back again this year. I don't anticipate much problems in terms of getting a negotiation completed to have Josh Brown be with the Giants again. He just went to the Pro Bowl. I mean, he's very, very good.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm just getting antsy out here seeing the Eagles sign, you know what I mean, their best players. They have to – their big thing is they're worrying about if they want to sign Bradford or not again. You know, that's their big thing there, you know.
Well, and that's more of a reason why, Joe. I mean, think about it. You got to look at – you know, every team's got a different philosophy. They have to make a decision about the most important position on the team, the quarterback. So financially, you know, they need to see what they're working with, and it's smart at times to get the other guys off the books so then you know how much you have left to get to the quarterback. And also keep in mind, remember, Zach Ertz and Brent Celek, those were extensions. Those were not re-signings.
Correct.
Okay, those were on top of their existing contracts. Vinny Curry, who I know has been out there, reportedly had just re-signed. He was set to be a free agent. So really, when you look at the Eagles, they've only technically, based on reports, re-signed one of their own. The other two I don't throw in that category because those two were extensions.
Good point.
I don't know if Cox's contract's running out, but they're trying to sign him to a big one yet. That's all I'm hearing.
Fletcher Cox,
you know,
which would make sense considering he's one of their best defensive players. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah,
right. How many years is Cruz on their contract yet? Is it one or two yet, Paul? Do you know?
Oh, boy. I thought Victor had two more. I thought he had 16 and 17. But understand that at the moment, you know, he's rehabbing off of that calf thing, and, you know, they got to figure out exactly where he is medically. And, again, I've heard good reports. I've heard that they're very happy with the progress and everything is coming along like it's supposed to. But until, you know, we get further along with that situation, to even talk about his contract is kind of premature.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, too, I know we really concentrated on the offense the last few years, and you know what I mean? I think they're going to be in good shape, you know. It's just the defense, and I really think we'll be going, you know, we're going to be all right. One more thing. Where's Justin Tuck from? I was just wondering.
Alabama. He's a native of Alabama.
I just wonder where he's going to live. You know what I mean? He's out there on the coast. He lived here in New York.
No,
Alabama.
He kept a residence here locally, and I do believe that this is where he's going to come back to. He may have others that he's going to stay with as well, but he was always going to keep this home base. He's a transplanted New Yorker and loves it here. Cruz, by the way, signed through 2018.
I got 19 here. That expo- Oh, yeah, 2018 would be his final season.
Yes.
So then he set to hit the market in 19.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, great to talk to you guys. We'll see you again.
All right, Joe. Appreciate the phone call. It's interesting that he brought up Justin Tuck because I recently was watching a piece where when he first arrived with the Giants, you know, he talked about how this was an eye-opening experience brought up in little small town. I think his town, it was the entire Tuck family basically was the whole town. And then all of a sudden he moves to New York, Times Square and everything. It's like, oh my God, it's an overwhelming circumstance.
He has become as New York as you could possibly get. He is an over-the-top fanatic New York Yankees fan.
And Ranger fan, too.
And
very
Rangers fan.
Ranger
and
fan.
Knicks fan. But Yankees first. If it's not Giants, it's Yankees first with him, and then Knicks and Rangers after that. But, I mean, just absolutely one of the biggest – I said this the other day to John – one of the biggest sports fans among all the players who I've covered. Because a lot of guys, they don't dabble necessarily
right.
in the other sports as much. He's a fanatic, especially his Yankees. Oh, my God, does Justin Tuck love his Yankees.
No, I agree with you there. He makes his presence felt within the city at all sporting
no question.
Events and so forth. I mean, I've been to a few Knick games where I've also seen him within the vicinity of Celebrity Row and so forth. So, yes, Justin Tuck has fully embodied the entire New York
community.
He's not
leaving this area.
Yes, he made that transition. However, you know, he does keep close ties to Alabama. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised maybe later on in his life if he settles back, you know, somewhere in Alabama. But I would also not be surprised if he hangs around here, too.
That's a guy I'm looking forward to see more of now that he's officially retired.
Well, OC has also been very active, at least within the NFL community. He's now overseas, working for the BBC and so forth. So all of these guys, I'm
NFL
sure are going to keep.
Yes,
I'm sure they're all going to keep their legs and feet somewhere in the vicinity of the National Football League, considering how active they were as players. And we heard from one of them earlier in the program, in case you're just joining us, Chase Blackburn, who is now pursuing some coaching opportunities, which is nice to hear, considering he was one of the most intellectual players within Giants franchise history. And we certainly appreciate him for coming on. And once again, his website, which is going to launch in the next few days, is BlackburnChasingTheCure.com. As soon as we get more information on that front from him, we'll pass it along. But if you want to check it out, it's BlackburnChasingTheCure.com. And we will do our best to, as the callers have weighed in, to try to hear from some former as well as current players during the course of the offseason, keep up to date on what they're doing and so forth as we move into the free agency period as well as the draft period. But we do appreciate everybody for tuning in over the last 60 minutes. Big Blue Kickoff live with you each and every weekday here from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern as we continue to take your phone calls and cover all of the pertinent topics. We'll be moving forward in terms of previewing more on the Super Bowl front tomorrow. I know John Schmelk and Jeff Eagles will be here as they get you set for Super Bowl 50 and a lot more. For Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.